Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, to begin this afternoon, what does intercession mean? Or what does it mean to intercede? And it means simply to go between. In terms of Christ's intercession, it means that he goes between us and God. For because of our sin, our relationship to God was hostile. We were at enmity with him, but Christ intercedes for us, bringing before the judgment seat of God his own innocent and precious blood, that the wrath that we deserved would be turned away, and the blessing that Christ deserves would be poured out upon us. You may be wondering as you look at this article, why is it so long? Especially when you think of, if you look back in the few previous articles on justification and sanctification, they're much shorter. Why is this such a long and detailed article? Oh, if you, as I say, it is long, but if you look at the whole part of salvation in the Belgic Confession, that would be longer than this article, but it's a substantial statement. And the reason for that was because of whom Guido de Bray and the other reformers were arguing against. And it's because the Roman Catholics were primarily who they were writing against. In the Roman Catholicism, according to official church doctrine, even back then, there are, according to them, other mediators or intercessors besides Jesus. This idea that there could be other intercessors between us and God besides Christ, of course, comes nowhere in the scriptures, but actually comes from a wrong view of Christ that the Roman Catholic Church had, especially in medieval times. And instead of going back to scripture to correct their misunderstanding of Christ and his work for us, they instead used human wisdom, which led many in the Catholic Church into idolatry. In the medieval Roman Catholic Church in particular, but you'll even hear it still today, the view of Jesus as he relates to us right now is that, yes, Jesus is our Savior, but ultimately he is the judge of heaven and earth. He is our judge. That's where the emphasis lies. And we would say, well, it's not wrong to say that Jesus is the judge. We just confess that in the Apostles' Creed. Of course Jesus is the judge of heaven and earth. Scripture teaches that very clearly. But you see, the Catholic Church puts so much emphasis on Jesus being the judge of the universe and not putting any or real emphasis on Jesus being the Savior of his people, complete Savior of his people, that people started to become afraid of Jesus. And you can understand that, because who likes to go before a judge? Even if you're innocent, you don't like to be there. You wouldn't want to be in front of a judge. And if Jesus is seen primarily as a judge, you're scared of him. How could he be our intercessor if he's the judge? And so, in human wisdom, the Catholic Church came up with an answer to that fear. It had nothing to do with scripture, it had everything to do with human wisdom. Because, think about this with me now, if you are to go before a judge, earthly speaking, who better to advocate for you than the judge's own mother? And that's exactly what happened. As Christ was more and more seen as a judge and less as a savior, the veneration of Mary grew and grew. Because we need somebody that's on our side to help us get on Jesus' good side. And then you keep following the logic. If Mary is a really good intercessor, a really good mediator, a really good helper, then the other saints would help too. Saints in the Catholic Church are different than the way we understand that term. We talk about saints, we talk about all Christians. They meant only those Christians that had lived extraordinarily holy lives, so that they actually had extra merit that they could give to you, so you would have a better standing before God and be seen as more worthy of receiving grace rather than wrath. And so you start to see this happening with, now you have all these different, in the Catholic Church, you have all these different patron saints, right? And so you have a saint for this trade, and a saint for this job, and a saint for this area, and all of that, it has gone on and continues to go on. You start thinking about that for not too long, and you start to wonder, this starts to sound a lot like that old-time pagan religion, where you had a god of that tree, and a god of that tree, and a god over there, and a god over there, and a helper over there, and not going to slander the Catholics and say it's exactly the same, but it does start to sound very similar, doesn't it? There's even spread the view of the Catholic Church that in order for you to go before God, you can't just go directly to Him by the mediation of Christ. You not only need Mary and the other saints, but you also need the Pope. And you need bishops. And you need priests. And so you need all these other intercessors on this earth too. That's why you need the church so much. So that, according to official church doctrine, in order for you to go before God, you have to go through all these other intercessors to get there. All of this is a misunderstanding of the gospel. All of this is a misunderstanding of Christ Himself, isn't it? Does Christ seem very loving there in the Roman Catholic idea? Not really. He sounds more like a harsh judge than a loving Savior. Jesus is a just judge for sure, but as we look at the Scriptures, what do we find? That He is a tender and compassionate Savior at the same time. This is where the middle of the first paragraph of Article 26 is so helpful in weeding out the errors and grasping the biblical truth. We read in that paragraph that even though Jesus is perfectly holy and just and infinitely great in every way, that should not terrify us. That should not cause us to be scared of Him. Remember, the Catholics, they were scared of meeting Christ on Judgment Day. We don't have to be. In fact, biblically, there's no reason for us to be. We don't need all this other intercession because Christ is the judge and our intercessor. I love that sentence in that first paragraph there, kind of in the middle. There is no creature in heaven or on earth who loves us more than Jesus Christ. Why would we go looking for another? Because there's no one else that loves us as much as Jesus does. And then that article goes on to reference how Jesus displays His love for us by coming down from heaven and becoming like us in every way except sin. This is also the beauty of looking at Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18, and Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Because we see that Jesus is a compassionate and loving high priest. He is not an intercessor that is against us. He is for us. He is for us so much that he became like us in every way, sin excepted. And when we sin, we don't have to fear whether he's going to change his mind and whether he's still going to be on our side and whether he's still going to be with us. Why? Because we know that he already gave himself for us completely. He already paid for all of our sin. This is the great comfort that the author of Hebrews wants us to understand. This is the love that the Lord wants us to know and be filled with. His love. This is the comfort and love that is ours because Christ is our only high priest and he is our only intercessor. At the end of the first paragraph of the article, we get to where our texts in Hebrew lead us, which is that Christ is the best intercessor and mediator we could possibly imagine. As we read there in the very end of the first paragraph, if therefore we had to look for another intercessor, could we find one who loves us more than he who laid down his life for us, even while we were his enemies? If we had to look for one who has authority and power, who has more than he who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Moreover, who will be heard more readily than God, to God, than his own beloved Son? Seriously, think about that. Who else could be better for us than Christ? Who else could be a better intercessor for us before God than the one who is both God and man at the same time? And who gave himself for us while we were still his enemies? And who has all power and authority in heaven and on earth? And is at the same time the very Son of God. So who would the Father more readily hear? Who can sympathize with our weaknesses more than Christ, who came and suffered in every way that we have, and even more so, suffering under the wrath of God? Who was tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin? Not to mention that Jesus is not a temporary intercessor or high priest like every other high priest in the Old Testament. But Christ is our eternal high priest and intercessor. Who could possibly be a greater advocate for us than Jesus Christ? And we'd all have to conclude the same thing. There's no one else. And it's not like a close race. Like it could have almost been somebody else. No, as we think about it, it's all and only Jesus. No one else comes close. Now, Christ is certainly the best intercessor we could possibly imagine, the best we could ever possibly have. It doesn't get any better for us than what we have in Christ. That's plainly evident for all to see. It's also clear from Scripture that Jesus is the only high priest and intercessor that we could ever have before God. For as Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You can't get more clear or emphatic than that. Jesus is the only way. And as we think about all that we have gone over with Christ being the best intercessor we could possibly imagine, it becomes quite evident that actually he's, as I said, the only intercessor we could possibly have. Even in the Old Testament, the intercession of the priests, and especially the high priest, that was all symbolic, just pointing forward to the intercession of Christ. Now, having said that, I do want to clarify something and to remind us of a great responsibility that we have as Christians. The Old Testament priests, or Moses, for example, and even we ourselves, can intercede on behalf of others only in this sense, that we may lift others up to the throne of God in prayer. We can do that. But you see, that is an intercession that is an entirely different sense than Christ's intercession. Because even Moses, even the high priests, and even ourselves, we can only intercede for others through the necessary intercession of Christ. We can only lift others up to prayer in prayer before the Heavenly Father because of Christ. We always are going through Christ. We are always going to the Father in Christ. So even as we intercede for each other, by praying for each other, we are reminded that we always and only do so by the intercession of Christ. So in terms of the people of God coming into the presence of God and being received with favor, this is only because of the intercession of Christ. And it can only be Him. Notice the reasons. Because He is the only one that is both God and man. It is only He that has lived a perfect and sinless life. It is only He that suffered and died in our place to take away the wrath of God that we all deserve. It can only be Christ. All of this is said of Christ being the only and best intercessor for a number of reasons. But as you notice in Hebrews chapter 10 and in our article, for a very specific reason, to encourage us with our standing before God, that we would be encouraged to pray. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. I'll read it again because it's just so important for us to get this, to have this confidence to come before the Lord. Hebrews 10 at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. We can trust the Lord when we pray that He will hear us. He will answer us with a perfect answer because of the intercession of Christ. That answer may not be the answer that we want, but it will always be the perfect answer. Just a comment on the phrase, having boldness or confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. The author there is not saying that we pray presumptively in ourselves, but rather that we enter the heavenly courts of God in prayer, not with timid, scared hearts, not with doubt and wonderment if God will ever hear us, but rather we boldly can approach the throne of grace because we know that is where we belong. We can boldly approach the throne of grace because we understand that is where we belong. When you look at the Old Testament requirements and you see how they set up the tabernacle or the temple, and you see all the rituals and the laws, and especially those rituals surrounding the Day of Atonement, and that the Most High Priest can only enter behind the veil of the Holy of Holies once a year. What was that telling the people? It was reminding them that there was a separation between them and God because of sin. And that that had to be covered over. The blood of the sacrifice had to cover, atone for their sins in order for them to come. Brothers and sisters, we are not just ushered into some temple made with men's hands. We are not ushered just into the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. Because of Christ's intercession, we are ushered into the heavenly Holy of Holies. That every time we pray, that is where we are. That is in whose presence we are. That should make us tremble, but it should not make us be afraid. Because our salvation and our status before God is that secure. It is that secure. We know that if Christ is with us, and if we are saved by His precious blood, then we know that as we pray to our Heavenly Father, that we shall be heard, that we shall receive an answer from the Lord of all creation, because He promised, and we shall never receive curse from Him, but only and always blessing. This is the confidence that is ours when we pray. This is the assurance we have because of Christ's intercession. Let us praise God for the loving relationship that we have with Him because of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing together.